Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 194, episode 3 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack Chuggy Wonderland.
Get it.
Chuggy Wonderland.
Yeah.
I wear tight pants when I start to dance in a Chuggy Wonderland. Jack, Chuggy Wonderland. That is courtesy of Suburban Panic Attack and Earth, Wind & Fire. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Please get vaxxed in the U.S. Vaxxed in the U.S. of A.
Woo!
Just thought of that right now. And you know what? Please get vaccinated, okay? They're even saying it on Fox News. Maybe probably preaching to the choir on this podcast. But if please get the word out to everybody, you know, if you can. You know, it's we're starting to see the numbers, and your shot looks better if you're vaccinated.
I'm just waiting to see, like, what the effects are, you know, of the vaccine. I just want to, like, make sure... You know, maybe give me like a couple of years just to make sure, see what the effects are, because I'm all about the scientific process, bro. And so, like, I gotta see.
And you're a scientist?
No, but like I saw this thing on Facebook actually, where they were saying this girl got the vaccine and then her heart stopped for like 15 seconds, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. Do you listen to a lot of Joe Rogan?
Oh, man. You listen to Rogan, dude?
Rogan. It's just poison. All right, bro.
Yeah, I guess I am kind of a scientist when you think about how much Rogan I've done. Like, I actually did the math, and the hours of Rogan I've listened to is the equivalent of a graduate degree.
You know, there are people who really believe that, too. It's the most frightening shit.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very talented hip-hop artist and host of the podcast Waiting on Reparations, who at the age of 26 ran for and was elected Athens-Clarke County Commissioner in Athens, Georgia. She took the oath of office with her hand on a copy of the autobiography of Malcolm X. She's a community organizer and a PhD candidate in linguistics at the University of Georgia, where she also finds time to be a graduate teaching assistant. Please welcome Mariah Parker, a.k.a. Lingua Franca!
Yo, what's good? What's good, my people? It's so good to be back. Yo, it's so funny hearing all my titles and things to do. I feel tired just listening to them.
I'm exhausted.
And I do the things.
Yeah.
I got so intimidated. I was like,
it's really not all, like that. It's not that cool. It's, it's
okay. Pretty you're humble. I see you. Okay, Kendrick.
I don't believe that you don't think it's that cool. It's pretty fucking cool.
It's fun. Got a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, yeah.
How much longer till you get your, we call you doctor?
Well, what's funny is, so I was supposed to graduate in August, and this is new since the last time I was on the show. Okay. I'm having a baby.
What?
Oh, congrats.
Next month, in fact. And so my plans of finishing my dissertation over the last 8 months didn't happen.
Okay.
So we gonna get out of school when we get out of school. I don't really know it no more. It's cool.
Okay.
But yeah. So life comes at you fast.
That's yeah. Suddenly I'm like, how's it doing? Like, I'm about to be a mother. Oh, great. Fantastic.
That's what's up.
Wow, it's been that long.
It's been that long. Isn't that crazy?
I know. I'm like, in this whole time, you're going to come back. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm a mom now. Like,
wait, add that to the resume. It was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
But yeah. So,
well, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What's good in Athens? How's everything down there?
The verdant greens of the many walking trails. One thing in the city government we do really well. You know, we might be struggling up against Brian Kemp in the state law a lot, but we build some beautiful parks out here.
There's
plenty of open natural spaces for the people to unwind if they want, if they need to reflect on their lives, which frequently
we can all use that.
And get some sunshine. Get a little
What's the best park in Athens? If you say this is the pride of Athens in terms of our outdoor
the
spaces.
Jewel of Athens. Got to be Virginia Walker Park. And I'm not just saying that because it's literally right behind my house, I promise. But it's got mountain bike trails and then like concrete trails. So I'm gonna be pushing a little baby stroller out there on a little concrete path. You got little like hiking trails.
That becomes so important when you having a place to walk with the baby is so.
Yeah. Do y'all get outside? Do you all enjoy fresh air, sunshine? Y'all get outside enough?
Yeah.
What the hell? See, LA is so messed up because we don't actually properly tax anything out here. I'm looking at your parks and I'm like, what is this, Disney World? You have rugby uprights for rugby? I'm like, the fuck? What is this? Splash pad.
Splash pads.
You love to see it. You love to see it. All right. Well, Walker Park. Here I come.
I'm reading The Power Broker, the biography of Robert Moses, and he's just getting to the part where he starts building some parks in New York City for and like on Long Island, and by like he has to take over land from, you know, the Bezoses of the day. It's pretty cool.
It's nice.
Gives you good appreciation for local politics before he turns into a racist piece of shit later on. But you know, pretty cool. Pretty cool book. It's also like 100 hours long. I'm listening to it. So it's,
Lord of mercy.
Yeah.
Dense.
All right, Mariah, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. So Jeff Bezos left the planet in a giant dick. People were kind of already over it the second it happened because like the way social media just churns through jokes. It's like, somebody made that joke 20 jokes ago, but I just want to take a moment to stop and appreciate how much that thing looked like a dick that he was trying to
just really
fuck
drink
out
it
of
in.
Space with. Like, just really bearing out any arguments that this whole thing is a rich guy dick measuring contest. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the picks for the January 6th Select Committee. The Republicans are not really doing the good faith effort and making sure they have people who are actually interested in the truth. We're going to check in with Sean Hannity. We love to check in with this guy, our man on the street when it comes to vaccinations. We'll talk about this new Texas Senate bill that got rid of the requirement for teaching that the KKK is morally wrong, among other things.
Woo!
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Tokyo shit show, all of that, plenty more. But first, Mariah, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
So my last search was CIA intervention in Latin America.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard
and
of
here's
such
why.
A thing.
And so context is that, so on my podcast this week, which comes out Thursday, we talk about a 2004 mockumentary by the name of Confederate States of America, in which it's imagining the Confederacy had won the Civil War and they proceed to then implement slavery across the United States. And they actually go and conquer Latin America as well and implement slavery in Latin America. And one of the things really interesting about the film is that it's like, it's supposed to be funny, like, oh, haha, wouldn't it be hilarious if that happened? But that does have really strong historical parallels to like things that really did happen. So the whole thing about like conquering Latin America is like, if you look at the amount of meddling the United States has done in places like Chile, pretty much like every Latin American country with regard to like regime change with democratically elected governments, we, you know, it's not too far fetched, not too far from the truth. And so that was the last thing I searched this morning for a little additional research for my show this week.
Yeah. That's we bring that up a lot, given what was happening like in Haiti and
exactly.
just, you know, how many mercenaries are trained by the U.S.
Exactly.
government.
Yes.
And we talk a lot about the School of the Americas and how now they've wonderfully rebranded it as like the school for like Western cooperation or some stupid euphemistic name rather than assassin date, like summer camp.
Assassin summer camp. Yeah. You think we all know? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
In Cuba, when there's like a protest for like a protest for bring capitalism here, give us a democracy, like that takes over the media. But in Colombia, when there's left-wing activists protesting and getting murdered in the streets, we don't talk about that.
Didn't even happen. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah,
might as well
real.
Not happen.
Yeah.
Don't talk about embargoes or sanctions either when trying to give any kind of context to any country that's, you know, being destabilized by the U.S. with its foreign policy. And they're like, oh my God, what's happening over there in that place where we cut off all the flow of supplies and things?
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
How could this possibly be?
It's should like, we send troops? Should we send troops?
Yes, we get on the boat and go.
It's like those old school movies where, or I guess not movies, but this is the only place I've seen them, like battle strategies where they just like cut off all supplies to a town. And then if instead of that just being a straightforward military strategy, they were like, man, your king is really fucking up by not getting you guys enough food. It's just like,
weird.
Maybe
off with his head, huh?
Right.
I guess.
Off with his head, am
IDK,
I right?
Like, I guess off with his head. I don't know.
We got all these hamburgers just sitting here. I mean, we'd love to share them with you, but this king you got is so greedy, huh? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Y'all ever had a Happy Meal?
Peru just elected a leader who's like a outsider leftist.
Oh yeah, Pedro Castillo.
Yeah, I just had the thought like
he's in danger.
Yeah, he's in danger.
Oh, yeah.
Like somebody needs to
Lula,
protect him.
Lula da Silva running for president in Brazil. He's in danger.
Yeah.
All these cats better have like sick security. And even then, like they need to like you really need to check their search histories and they like, you know,
check their CVs. Did they spend a summer at the School of the Americas?
Yeah. What is this sabbatical you went on? You went to summer camp? What kind of summer camp was that?
Oh, it was just sort of near Fort Bragg. It was
Fort
cool.
Bragg is chill.
Fun. There were like rope swings by the lake and then, you know, monkey bars that we would climb on with our AK-47s and, well, I guess
and
not
improvised explosive devices. Oh. And what else?
You guys really taking me back. Yeah.
Those were the
times.
Days.
How to sabotage a single engine plane. anyway.
Mariah, what is something you think is overrated?
Man, a precipitation. Bruh, I just told you about all these beautiful lush green like gardens and rolling hills, though I generally every day I'd be out walking for like 3 hours a day, just listening to podcasts, getting caught up on phone calls for politics, whatever. And the rain just completely thrown off my day today. Completely. You know what? I know we need thriving ecosystems. Duh, whatever. You know, the plants. Right. But I just want to go on a walk, man, and I can't. Because it's just torrentially pouring out there today.
Yeah,
so, fuck precipitation. Huh? I'm saying it. And, you know, there's that flooding in Germany that killed like 150 people. So that's real. Yeah. So it's real shit, and we need to like really watch it with the precipitation.
Yes.
Right now. But yes. For real, that shit, I mean, it's not just ruining my day, apparently. Ruining a lot of people's day.
And then
horrific.
Out here, we might as well be on a different planet, because we are in the midst of a drought. And when you go back, like my kids thought they were, like when we went back east to Pittsburgh, they just like couldn't believe how green everything was. It's just a different, like it seems like you're on a different planet when you go. Just
you rather than a desert that a bunch of people forced into being a city right. in the beginning of the last century.
Right. Flag no, just in the steal sand. The like, water yep, from this up looks north. Like a great one, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, got it.
We'll live here. Where's the water going to come from? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Shut your mouth.
We'll fucking reroute the Colorado if we have to.
Yeah.
Did they ever get around to that? Did they? No, they just forgot. Right. They just kept building the city. And it's like, well.
I mean, well, now, like, you know, the big thing is like all of the river fighting that's happening where depending on how, if you're upstream or downstream, like the control that certain municipalities have over how much water is flowing.
Oh, damn.
And it's like causing another thing because especially if it goes through like tribal lands too, there's like another layer of like racism and like inability for them to advocate for like the rivers that flow through their territories and things like that. It's just a very climate change. I'm telling you, it will always cause more chaos and reveal how just inefficient and backwards many of our systems are. But the increasing stuff in Europe, I'm sure is very, very disconcerting because a lot of scientists are like, this is what happens because of our hubris, which is true. Yeah.
And ain't nobody listen to them. They're like, oh, are you sure, bro? It's like, yeah, bro. Unlike our friend Jack, no offense, real scientists, PhD degrees, out here running around with beakers and test tubes and lab coats. Doing some science. They know. They publish Rogan, all this stuff.
Rogan knows some science, okay? Rogan.
He knows how long it takes you to pass out from being in a rear naked choke.
Exactly.
Empirically.
Yes.
Very rigorous.
Based on your neck density, he can figure it out within a half second.
He's pushing new boundaries on like how wide a human can be at the same time. Like as being, he's wider than he is tall pretty soon, which is kind of impressive.
He's going to start looking like one of those Mucinex characters.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which that's science, man. Hey, you don't get that way without Mucinex, applying science.
Hey, Mucinex is science, man.
That's true. Mariah, what is something you think is underrated?
Staying hydrated. So both my over and underrated are both
water
related.
Yeah. Yeah.
So falling from the sky, very much whack. Drinking from a cup, first thing in the morning, like two glasses of like lukewarm water, especially you just absorb it immediately and you feel more alert. Your senses are all percolating. You ready to go out there and kick the day's ass. If it weren't raining, otherwise, because now you trapped in your house and you gotta get on, you know, Zoom or whatever. But staying hydrated. You really can't. You really can't. More people need to embrace it. Just embrace it. Don't shy away.
I remember there was like a debate for a while. Like, should it be like warm water or like ice cold water? I remember there's like some people that begin to like by like ice cold water in the morning. But most people were like, no, it's better for your digestion if it's lukewarm. But I just love ice water.
Same temperature as you. No offense. I mean, that's cool if you like ice water. I mean, it's kind of fucked up.
Same temperature as me.
But you drink that lukewarm water. And just it's like I'm home. It like just jumps in and it's like amongst its people with the rest of the water in you because it's all the same temperature.
There's no friction at the door.
No friction at the door. They're not like checking IDs. They're not like dress code. No, it's just like, oh, what's up? I'll meet you again. What's good?
Looking like Iceberg Slim. Okay. blend in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break myself from like cold water. Now I just do cold-ish water, but not like ice water. Cause I just feel like all the old world like information, like all the Spanish mom I lived with for a while was like thought that cold water was, I actually had really bad allergies. She thought that cold water was making me sick. My mother-in-law from Korea is like, thinks that cold water is like, you might as well be just like laying around in cold water. Like that.
Yeah, that's how my mom thinks too.
Yeah.
Being it's just an old like, school Japanese lady. She'd always be like, why are you drinking stuff so cold? Like, yeah. You're going to die. I'm like, you just grew up drinking tea all the time.
Yeah.
And also a childhood without ice because post-World War II. But whenever I'm drinking ice water, there's always like this thing. She'll shiver watching me drink ice water sometimes. She's like, oh, God.
Lord, what you sipping on? What you got? What's that brown stuff?
Iced coffee.
Nice. I'm also drinking black tea right now. Drinking.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I needed some cold brew to get my blood circulating.
I like to just shock my system with like cold and then hot coffee, cold water, hot coffee. Just confuse. It's called body confusion. I learned about it on
it's
Rogan.
The new craze.
Yeah.
Body confusion.
That's a real thing. Like muscle confusion.
Right. To vary your workouts and stuff.
Yeah. My muscles are dumb as fuck. They're always confused. I don't need to like torture myself to.
That also sounds like some brag on someone on Rogan would say like, yo, bro. Oh my God, dude. My biceps dumb as fuck, bro.
Dumb as fuck, bro.
So fucking confused, doggy.
So yeah. Delirium.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And yeah, so I mean, this is old news by now, but our king god, Jeff Bezos.
All hail.
All hail. He left the planet yesterday morning in, I mean, it just couldn't have looked more like a dick. Like, it literally could not have looked more like a dick. And people,
it's like they tried.
Does this man have zero sense of, like, awareness of, like, or wariness of irony or anything? Just like,
right.
Yes, please make it as phallic as possible.
And it's,
let's go. I don't know why he's British suddenly, but yeah.
What? Yeah.
Because of Richard Branson, the last one who took off.
Oh, that motherfucker,
residual,
yeah.
British billionaire residue.
Yeah.
It's, but it, I just, it, it's one of those things that we, our online social media metabolism, we just like burned through it real quickly, but it's like years from now, people are going to look back on that and be like, what the fuck was happening? Why?
For real.
Yeah.
That shit is, yeah.
The irony should have been it crashing into the earth, because it would have been more of a metaphor about how he's fucking the entire planet.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
We'll
but
see.
Instead, it was the metaphor, you know, he was hoping to appropriate, which was fucking space. That's how space. He lets the world
I like
know.
To believe that his engineers or whoever like got hired to build the thing were like, how can we just subtle fuck you? Be like, yo, bro, no, listen, like the dynamism of the phallic shape is the way to go. We promise. It's nothing weird. And he's like, oh, sure. Yes, 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 yes. And they're like snickering as they pull all the levers to make it go up. Because I got you, bitch.
Right.
You're riding the giant dick.
Yeah. They're like, dude, look at the top, dude. Look like a straight up dickhead. They're like, yeah, he's going to get in there. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
They're like, he approved this? They're like, yeah, he doesn't know.
He just threw cash at it. Who knows? Yeah.
I really like that theory that they did that, because there's also the fact that he kind of looks like Dr. Evil already. And like, there's the reference to the Austin Powers spacecraft that like motivated a 3-minute long dick joke. And this actually looks more like a dick. Like that, the Austin Powers one had two balls, which kind of helped with the overall joke of it. But this one actually, like, just looks more like a dick than that.
I'm shocked. I forgot about the Austin Powers similarity. Like, how more cartoonishly evil could you be?
There's right.
Like, yeah, there's like a literal cinematic parallel of an evil villain in a dick ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bruh.
They should honestly just like blurkle that thing out. Like, it should be blurred out. Like,
yeah, I feel violated seeing it.
It's indecent.
Look away.
And he actually went to the space, right? Because did he actually break whatever?
Yeah, he went and
carbon,
stayed.
Whatever dome or whatever he said, to be like, it's just different than what fucking Branson did.
He went orbital. So,
okay.
You ain't got shit.
Okay,
Bezos.
Orbital daddy, go out there and fuck this guy.
Yeah, this was. I keep thinking of, you know, when you're a kid and you touch the bottom of the pool and then come right back up. It's like that. That's right. What this is. He touched the barrier and was like, "Wee!" I actually have a direct quote from him. Mission Control did a status check after the crew members buckled back in aboard after they got to like float around a little bit. And his quote was, "Astronaut Bezos in my seat. Happy, happy, happy." So it's cool. It's a good.
What about his clone brother?
It's a good world that we live in.
Did the brother that's a clone make it back too?
Yeah, I believe so.
Did they eject him from the ship?
Yeah.
It's just out in the void of space.
The other thing was wild is when he came back, you know, he had that press conference and he's like, I'm giving $100 million to Jose Andres and Van Jones.
Right. Okay.
To do whatever they want. And it's like, fool, what? And I think, again, he's like, see, I gave away $200 million. Please don't make me pay taxes.
Right.
Like, roll back the guillotines. Like,
I gave it to a black man and a brown man.
Yes.
And whether or not those people are, you know, Jose Andres, I love his work. Van Jones, I have a few question marks over. But I think the optics, he's like, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. And they will decide what to do. So I don't have to be the one that decides.
And just in keeping with the you know, ham-fisted, melodramatic political cartoonist who's been writing reality for the past 6 years. I just want to check on a couple of headlines that were trending at the same time that he was going into space in a dick-shaped rocket. We had, how bad is the bootleg fire? It's generating its own weather. So that's a fire that's caused by and creating climate change. And then U.S. renews public health emergency due to COVID-19 pandemic. So, yeah, that's
things are going trending. Well down here.
Huston Till Bezos is like, why don't we just put concrete over all that stuff if it's going to burn every time?
right. Yeah.
Don't give him any ideas. What if he listens to the show?
Yeah.
He does. He is
a fan. Yeah. He has.
Hey, Daddy Bezos. Hey.
He's the Finsta to always put hater comments in the thing. We know you, Jeff.
All right. Let's talk about that January 6th select committee. We're finally going to get to the bottom of this thing. Or not.
Yeah, will we? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kevin McCarthy, he has picked 5 men to be on the January 6th committee, because if you remember, we talked about how the formation of this committee, you know, Pelosi doesn't have to accept these 5 picks. They're just sort of done in consultation with the minority leader. And he's picked Jim Banks from Indiana, old screamy Jim Jordan from Ohio, and a few other people, including Troy Nails, who is a former sheriff who helped Capitol Police hold back insurrectionists during the attack. But here's the thing. 3 of them also voted to overturn election results. So this is going to be a very interesting group if Pelosi accepts them. Again, she doesn't have to, but I'm sure McCarthy's being very intentional by having, you know, Jim Jordan be part of that. Because why would you have someone that many people are like, he was like, you know, getting people fired up more, like as much as anybody that was actually a seated member. You want him to be part of this committee? I mean, I'm sure if, you know, if Pelosi declines, then they'll have their ammo to say, this thing's so partisan. Look, they have the person who was like a insurrectionist. You just caping for insurrectionists. He can't be part of the thing to investigate. And if you remember, the Senate Republicans shot down a proposal to have an independent body investigate because of the, you know, they're like, look, it doesn't have to be people from the Senate or whatever. We can have an independent body investigate this. And Republicans said that was too partisan.
Man.
So.
What?
It's just a very, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I know Liz Cheney is one of the people that Nancy Pelosi did ask to be as part of the committee, a few of, like, you know, many other Democrats. But we will see with this, because the other thing is, too, Republicans, they were putting up such a fight with this whole investigation because they know it's probably going to incriminate a few members.
Not going to look good, bro.
Because they were like, oh, this is nonsense. They completely walked away from negotiations. So they gave away their power, like veto and subpoena power, if they had actually committed to being part of this. So now it's just
like,
I don't know, a clown show.
Was Jim Jordan like part of the these election results aren't trustworthy type shit? Like he was on that thing?
Oh, yeah.
He was on the big lie. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's a big lie supporter. He's a big old big lie guy.
Nice.
Which, again, I don't know how anyone could, like, that doesn't, I don't know. I don't know why I'm trying to, like, apply, like, logic right. or, like,
trying
objectivity
to
this.
Nah, bro.
I'm like,
nah.
You can't have someone who's implicated in the attack also be one of the investigators. Like, it feels like that Tim Robinson, like, I think you should leave sketch with the hot dog car drives through the thing.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Who did this? It's like, you motherfucker. This? And why are you here leading the questions? It was you.
Yeah.
And the other thing they're trying to do is, you know, if these people get on, I'm sure the other thing that they want to do is hijack the agenda to make sure that they're like, well, if we're going to talk about political violence, we need to talk about the summer of 2020.
Oh, right? Yeah.
What was going on
yeah.
with all the George Floyd protests. That's really the thing that they want to offer as a counterpoint. But again, I don't know what you're going to see in terms of, well, I don't know what the truth they're trying to get to, unless it's some kind of conspiracy theory.
It's
going to
water
George
it all
Soros.
Down. And so whatever results ultimately emerge from it, should it, you know, move forward as, you know, in the suggested composition, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with it? Like, oh, great. Like, oh, we found we did no wrong. Can we move yeah. on now? Like the same way with, like, you know, Trump's many crimes. He ain't going to jail. He ain't going to jail for shit.
That's what would be interesting to see what happens if how Pelosi plays this. Like if she does have Jim Jordan on, whether that's just a move where she's like, all right, I know you're just trying to get me to say no to him, so you can already say this thing's a, you know, a fucking sham from the beginning, or let him go in, make a fool of himself, leak that stuff, be like, this guy sums up with this dude. We need to get him out, actually. I don't know. But so I like to be a podcaster instead of a politician.
Yeah.
Or you can do both. Do both, bro. It's sick.
Yeah, fine. Fuck it.
All right. All right. What are we running you for? We talked about with city council.
I'm running for governor, man. Everybody's running for California governor right now.
Apparently, the bar is low.
The water's great.
Yeah, Jack, you're running too, right?
Shit, I'll run. I don't care. I don't even live there.
Yeah, come on through. You can use my address to say you live there.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a motivation on the Democrats' part. Like, I've just noticed this with Biden and, like, how he's talking about the infrastructure and, like, the filibuster reform, that, like, there just seems to be a, like, they're as motivated to keep things the way they are as Republicans are. Like, they want things to stay sort of, quote, bipartisan to the degree that, like, nothing actually gets done. Like, that seems to be where we are at.
There comes a time, man, when if you are not willing to play dirty, put aside decorum and all of that stuff, and fight and just get nasty, you are conceding to fascism, straight up, period, point blank. That's it.
Yeah. And you can't, and I think they're like, well, there may be a way that we can do the Democrats' version of fascism that, like, is fine for people. It's palatable, and you can talk about it on TV, and most people aren't going to get the nuance of
it. Put a rainbow on it.
Republican version. Yeah, exactly. And we'll wear a kente cloth when we're in here saying, hey, come through. You're going to love our version of fascism. Come through. But, like, the whole thing with, even with that, you know, like, it just rings so hollow when, you know, Biden is just, like, completely ignoring what progressives are saying. Like, we will not support this other dumb fucking bill you want if you don't actually address things like paying essential workers and climate change. Like, this isn't just going to be a roads and bridge fucking deal here. Like, we have real shit that has to be addressed. And the version, like, and it's starting to ring hollow, too, along with the increasing threat of this just ridiculous, cynical, undemocratic play that the Republicans are trying to make in every state house, of them just sort of acting like, oh, this is so bad. It's like, well, then do something. It like feels like the bit that I'll do, Jack, when we used to go to lunch and I'll be like, oh, I forgot my wallet when the bill comes. And you're like, oh, man. And you're like looking around to see if people are buying your bullshit. It's so clearly such a bullshit thing. And that's how I feel when every time I hear Chuck Schumer or Biden talk about the difficulties they're having, while at the same time being like, we need to pass this bill. It's like, well, if you know that, then you know what the fuck to do.
God damn it.
Get on it, bro.
It sounds like you don't have your wallet because you don't have money. And you don't want to pay. You don't want to do anything because you don't want to change anything.
Right. All right. Let's talk about Fox News's continuing evolution. Like, they must have gotten a cease and desist or something. I don't know. I feel like there's something legally has changed, because suddenly they are open to admitting that vaccines work.
Did y'all see that reporting from Ryan Grimm of The Intercept, which showed that Fox News has vaccine passports?
Vaccine passports,
to work at Fox News.
Exactly.
You have to upload that you got the vaccine, and if you didn't, then you got to, like, wear a mask or social distance or stay in the office by yourself. And
negative tests and all that,
negative tests and all of that, after all of the shit they've been saying. And so I think they're like, whoop, we got cooked, guys. And, like, now they're like, oh, actually, you know,
we fuck with vaccines.
I never said I didn't. What are you saying?
So it seems like there's been some overall change in direction, or at least, like, there are these moments where they're acknowledging the efficacy of the vaccine, but they'll say it, like, right next to some bullshit that, like, implies the vaccine doesn't work or is dangerous. Like, not just, like, somebody in the morning will say a thing about getting how you need to get vaccinated, and then Tucker Carlson's show later. Like, this Hannity clip comes right after he is saying some, like, anti-vaxxer shit.
Yeah. He's getting angry that a university, I think it's the University of Indiana, was mandating vaccines for faculty and students because of pandemic. And then he pivoted to interviewing a young woman whose legs, like, went numb after getting a vaccine. but not the COVID vaccine, just someone who had a vaccine injury. And this is where it gets wild. Then right after that, he says this.
Just like we've been saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died. We don't need any more death. Research like crazy. Talk to your doctor, your doctors, medical professionals you trust based on your unique medical history, your current medical condition, and you and your doctor make a very important decision for your own safety. Take it seriously. You also have a right to medical privacy. Doctor-patient confidentiality is also important. And it absolutely makes sense for many Americans to get vaccinated. I believe in science. I believe in the science of vaccination.
Oh.
Bro, what? Yo, blink twice if you're being held hostage, Mr. Hannity.
That's what I was saying.
Are you
like,
okay?
It sounded like
he
was.
You guys?
That did not sound like him.
And also, the thing where he said, like we've always been saying.
Like we've been saying. Like, bitch, you ain't been saying. What the fuck? What?
That sounds like something you're trying to get like out there just so, like, if there's a trial, you can say, like, oh, no, I went on my show.
Play the clip.
Like I've always been saying, we've always been saying, or some people at the network have been saying. So that's been like a lot of people were like, this is a big head scratcher. But to Jack's point, it's not always the same thing. It's not consistent throughout the day, because then, like, to your point, Mariah, like the news about the vaccine passport came out and that they're enforcing these same sort of draconian policies that they scream about on their shows. And also the thing is that, like, it's very likely that many of these people, if not all of them, are vaccinated. They're just not acknowledging it publicly. And but again, before we give Fox like a round of applause for having a change of heart, I just want to check in with Brian Kilmeade, who, if you remember when we played the clip from Fox and Friends yesterday, when Ducey on Fox and Friends was like, hey, I believe in the vaccine, like Kilmeade was like, yeah, whatever. He had his own little opinion segment that he did. Keep in mind that Brian Kilmeade is vaccinated. Okay. And listen to this take he has.
So let's get this straight. 97% of COVID hospitalizations are unvaccinated people who, by the way, made their own choice not to be vaccinated. And if you need a reason to get vaccinated, I guess you just got one. But since when do we count on the President of the United States for healthcare advice? Let me answer that. We do not. But that isn't stopping him from offering us his unsolicited, unscientific input.
Huh. Okay. I think you were like all preaching about hydroxychloroquine at one point because the president.
Yeah. Said, speaking of your unscientific ass opinions about shit.
Right.
Dr. Kilmeade.
Which is wild. Essentially, like, his point there is that, like, hey, man, if these motherfuckers want to die because they're not getting vaccinated, that's their choice. Like, his,
yeah,
I'm not
gave
sure
you a
what,
reason, but no.
Like, huh? So, okay. Well, Media Matters was doing like a, like, you know, they looked at sort of just, you know, all of the mentions of vaccination and like what the takes are. And they said around 57% of the stuff that you hear on Fox News when it was talking about vaccinations was like anti stuff, you know, just sowing more disinformation or doing the thing where they just pose these questions like Tucker Carlson does. Like, I'm just merely asking if it works all the time. And if it does, then why aren't more, you know what I mean? Just that sort of cynical journalism.
Yeah, just not even journalism. Just
shit hot takes.
Unfortunately, I feel like even the positives that they're squeezing in there, for whatever reason, whoever's holding them hostage with like sexual assault, like revelations, they're like, yo, I'm panicking. Right. I'm going to tell them what you did if you don't start telling them about the vaccines.
Mm. He's like, look, I'm getting them all right now. All three.
Unfortunately, it's just too little too late, bro. I mean, yeah, they're just continuing to intersperse it with scaremongering, fearmongering. And it's just like, it's easier to like see that and be like, huh, that's an interesting take. Like, when they're like promoting them and then just sit around and do nothing and just like, and not go and just passively not go get it nonetheless. So it's just like the damage has been done. They could wholesale change their tune now and it wouldn't matter. Cause those viewers would just, they'd go to OANN, they'd go watch Newsmax, they'd just go watch whatever even loonier, more, you know, right wing outlets are out there. It's like, oh, they've abandoned us. They've become some chumps. They've got the Bill Gates chip in them and it's making them talk weird.
Right.
They're lost.
They're like, Siri, find my iPhone. And like, it's like, boop, 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 boop. They're like, great. They're like, it told you within like 20 feet where your phone was. Well, that's the tracking device.
That's the tracking device, my son.
But the other thing, yeah, there's a thing on OAN where recently somebody came out with like the wildest, like just outlandish anti-scientific claim against vaccines. Like OAN like was publicly like, we believe in vaccination science, blah, blah, blah. Like that person is, they're speaking for themselves. So it's weird how the networks, I think probably in light of all like the Dominion voting lawsuits and things like that, maybe realizing that there could be possible repercussions for just screaming that out. But I mean, imagine how many lives would be saved if Fox was saying this from the beginning. But again, like, because it's all about fracturing the country, like they couldn't even find a thing that would be the easiest thing for everyone to agree on, which is like, hey man, America's in trouble, the country, we need to take care of you, we need to do the right thing, because this is America, versus being like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah,
but that's America now.
And then you hear the stories about, I mean, it's like the families, it's your family, man. It's not just like, if you don't care if you live or die, like, oh, you know, right. YOLO, sick, love that for you. But what about your fucking parents? What about your kids? What about your pets?
Right.
What about your coworkers and your classmates and your, you know, everybody that fucking loves you, you know, like, do it for them, people. But people just don't even care about them.
They're like, I don't want to feel things.
I don't want to feel.
Yeah. It is a little bit of one of those, like, frog in the pot, like, where the water's slowly getting hotter and hotter until it's boiling, but you don't notice because it just when you take a step back and realize they're willing to hurt people, like, they know the vaccine works. They're getting the vaccine, but they're willing to let people die in order to continue to, you know, send that message, bury their head
to make
in the
profit
sand.
Off an audience that wants to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, could you imagine like this, like there's like a terrible wave of like COVID deaths and it's like they hollow out their audience? Like, would that be like the scientific experiment that they're looking at? It's like, if you feed these people this diet that is diametrically opposed to their safety, like, eventually are they going to reap what they're sowing in the form of, like,
bro,
just
your COVID denialism?
I don't know, it's
killing
really dark.
Off the people that you profit from, so maybe change your business model a little bit, encourage those that buy the products that advertise on your shows to live.
Right. What if that's what they're responding to? Like, somebody put a chart in front of them that was like, we're seeing a viewer dip, or all our viewers are going to hospital rooms. They're just going to TVs that are in hospital rooms now. So we might need to, you know, switch things up a little bit.
It's just, yeah, and it's just sad. Just sad the amount of people that are susceptible to misinformation, like of many different ideologies, because you get the woo-woo yoga crowd who probably vote for Obama three times type, you know,
oh my
people
God.
Who are like, out here now fully like, oh no, I can't do it. But
yeah,
this is the world we're in.
It is.
This is the world.
Profound observations from
Miles. I heard we live in a society. I don't remember where I read that. It could be misinformation.
I'm glad you went there.
Yeah, I heard tell we live in a society.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And the Texas State Senate has just passed a bill to get rid of a requirement that said the teachers had to teach that the Ku Klux Klan was morally wrong. It also removed Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech as required curriculum, and suffrage, the women's suffrage movement, civil rights, just generally like making it so that there are no requirements around the teaching of the history of white supremacy in this country, which means that in a lot of cases, like, teachers have come forward and said, I feel like physically threatened if I am teaching this as my own decision, because like parents are not wanting their kids to hear that, like, in these
communities. This is a lot bleaker than I thought. I'm not gonna lie. When I heard the school boards passing resolutions announcing critical race theory, et cetera, like, I can understand why people's resistance to being told that, like, they're part of the problem. Like, right. I get how that hurts, honey. Like, I understand, sweetheart. Like, mm-hmm. That's really hard, even though it's a conversation we need to have. But, like, seeing its actual instantiation in, like, we're not going to teach about the suffrage movement. We're not going to teach about, like, Cesar Chavez. We're not going to teach about MLK. It's like, oh no, this is a whole nother level of, like, yeah. Y'all
we're trying,
like,
to make y'all ignorant.
Ignorant. Yeah. That only history is white history and white male history. Yeah.
And also, like, all of these things, right? It's like, you know, because one of the first things I was taught in college, like, America's a white supremacist capitalist patriarchy. And I was like, what the fuck class is this?
I'm
like,
all right, go on. And you're like, whoo.
And this is precisely it. They are trying to erase anything that would give someone the critical functions to understand the systems of oppression that work in this country. Because, like, fuck, man, we got too loose with this teaching people history stuff that now we have to. I mean, granted, they're not saying it's banned, but they're saying it's no longer required. So then, you know, fucked up school districts can make their, you know, decisions that way. But yeah, it shows you, like, clearly that a level of progress just in general is just such a frightening prospect to conservatives, that to now even just be like, oh yeah, we're not even teaching history anymore. Like, we can't even do that.
Because, I mean, I already had my critiques as someone that studies education partially about, like, the limits of civics education today, where it's like, oh, they teach about the civil rights movement as if, like, oh, we beat slavery, we beat racism, it's over. But, like, right. If y'all not even gonna teach about how they kind of sort of started to begin to beat racism,
right. Period. Right.
To acknowledge.
Ooh, we in trouble. This is, we in big trouble. Like, big trouble.
They're gonna be like, I remember, like, they're going to completely take away stuff like, you know, maybe Alexis de Tocqueville or these other, like, nuanced things or, you know, talking about MLK or WB Du Bois or things like that and be like, when Tom Brady won his seventh Super Bowl children with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, people thought that was impossible, but he had a dream. And you're like, what the fuck are they teaching now?
Somebody be raise their hands and be like, what about Serena and Simone Biles? And they get in school
they're like,
suspension.
Who?
Get out of here.
Do you think this is going to make history like the edgiest shit for teens now? Because if they're not teaching it, you know how like kids be like, yo, they're not
Zoomers.
Teaching
oh,
the
yeah.
real shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they're like, yo, read this Howard Zinn real quick, man.
Yeah.
So fuck your head
right.
up.
Have, like, you're the like, trench coat on, open it, yeah. and during recess, be like, yo, I got so many pamphlets. We got them. Okay, what you want? What you need? You want some Susan B. Anthony?
Right.
You want some little Cesar Chavez in here?
I mean,
you want to know about physiognomy or phrenology?
Yeah, kids like, if you tell something's banned, something's taboo, something's not included, they're like, oh, work?
They'll be like, we actually just learned about phrenology in class. What are you talking about?
No, but like in the, like as if it's science.
Right.
Oh,
right.
No. Oh, no.
You know yeah, I mean? No,
no. No, not like that. Not like
it's
that.
It's really cool. I want to be a phrenologist, Mom. It's like, wait, what the fuck? I mean, I know about the pursuit of, you know, banned materials. Like I said, the original ATLians that had a different CD art on it.
Yep.
I remember trying to get that CD.
Yeah.
Because again, kids. If you say there's a different version or something's banned or whatever, I don't know. Like, it's just in my mind, I just see like this weird world where kids are like, yo, check this book out.
Right.
It's just like, it's just history. It's just history.
Yeah.
It's just a textbook.
Yeah. I mean, this we had talked about like the GOP kind of weaponizing the words critical race theory as a talking point because I think it had polled negatively with the base and, you know, they're using it to rile up the racist. But this proves that, you know, like Mariah, like you said, they're dead serious about making this part of the future. Like white supremacy is a protected value of American children's civic education. Like that's the goal. Yeah.
It's going to be hard when over half those kids are not white.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, that's specifically what they're worried about, I think. Right?
Yeah. I mean, because look, it's coming, baby. Look at the demographics. It's coming.
Yeah.
OK. And it's just funny, too, because on Monday there was in Missouri, they had a legislative committee, like an invite only hearing on critical race theory. Didn't invite one black person.
Huh.
For this hearing on whether or not it should be taught. So, you know, this is where things are headed. It's really grim. So, hey, if you're a parent, make sure that you tell your kids about the importance of history.
Yeah.
Because every time I see this, I'm like, damn, I'm glad that's what I was the most interested in as a kid. Like, because it felt like the closest to watching a movie for me. Like, history was easy to study because it felt like a narrative all the time.
Yeah.
And not like science with equations and shit. I was like, okay, right. They did that. And that made them do this. And that's why it's like this. And okay, I like this. I like this.
So a little bit of hope is to pass this bill passed in the Texas Senate. But does that mean that it has not yet passed in the Texas House?
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck.
Right. Yeah.
Woo! I can breathe a little bit. Lord Jesus, I was nervous.
This is them showing their hand of like what they want to do, where they want to take things.
Okay.
They haven't officially.
Or and then they do the thing where you do the most inflammatory bill first, and then you dial it back and go, okay, you're right. We just want to teach that the KKK isn't bad.
Right.
That's it. We'll just do that one now.
Compromise?
Okay. Right.
Compromise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all good.
A 3/5 compromise.
Bipartisanship is a beautiful thing, baby.
All right. Let's check in with the Tokyo shit show that continues to unfold in the run up to the 2020 Olympics in 2021. The newest bad news, aside from like, you know, the raging pandemic, is that, you know, the people who are being quarantined and like being forced to self-isolate are not being like fed. They're stuck in their rooms. Like journalists are stuck in their rooms and then like there's no food being delivered to them. So they're like, you know, starvation conditions basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, like the protocols apparently from the Olympic committee is like, if something happens, then you'll you'll self-isolate and you'll get three meals a day like brought to you. So like the first day people are like, where's my food? And they're like, oh, we don't, we're not, that's not our department. And they're like,
oh, we said that. Oh yeah. I didn't mean that.
And they're like, well, huh? So then like a lot of journalists have had to like rely on their colleagues who are in the area to bring them food because like the overall Olympic, you know, body is not actually doesn't have a hand in that for some reason, or the municipal government. So on top of that, it's just like, it's bad enough that, these like journalists are like, I'm going to miss the opening. So I'm going to miss a lot of it if I'm here for 14 days. Like, I might as well have just not come here and watched the same damn TV that everybody else was and just done my reporting like that.
Yeah.
But on top of that, this is from the Daily Beast, quote, some of them say that they were exposed on the same flight that were. So apparently this would happen where they were exposed on a flight and they said, hey, sorry, you're on a flight with somebody that had that tested positive. You have to self-isolate. So they said, some of them say that they were exposed on the same flights that were carrying athletes to Tokyo. But those athletes have been told there's no need for them to isolate. The reporters say they are fully vaccinated and have returned multiple negative tests, but will spend the next 14 days locked up in their rooms regardless. So it's like, okay, how is this being applied in a consistent way? It isn't, because there's enough. This also happened with the entirety of the BBC Scotland press corps that was traveling. They've also had to self-isolate. Because they were on a flight that had a positive case on it. But the athletes on that flight, not so much. Quote, the BBC has confirmed that although British Olympic athletes were on the same flight as the isolating BBC Scotland team, they are able to carry on with their preparations as normal if they keep returning negative tests. McLaughlin wrote in an article for the BBC, quote, I would be lying if I said there wasn't also huge frustration about differences in the rules, end quote.
They're just so desperate to squeeze the entertainment out of the athletes so that they can, you know, do the Pepsi commercials, sell the seats in the stadiums, get the tourist money.
Well, they don't even have tourists, though. That's like the other part of it.
I don't understand. What is going on? Okay, everybody,
it's all about delivering. You know, yeah. Toyota pulled out as an advertiser, but they still have all these advertisers that they are trying to deliver value for. So, yes. Like, of course, they have to, like, let the athletes be out and doing their preparations, but the journalists aren't driving, you know, advertiser value, so they're fucked. They're going to be treated like shit. I mean, it is, the Olympics are the most capitalist, like, kind of event. It's like capitalism, the Super Bowl of capitalism, which is itself probably the Super Bowl of capitalism.
Yeah, but we're the World's Fair.
Yeah, the World's Fair of capitalism. It's like all these advertisers, and it's just one of yet another example of how when things are off and when there's a lot of inequality and when there's a crisis situation, our like hyper-capitalistic kind of organizing principle that we've been going with for the past 40 years, like, it just doesn't work. It's a shit show. It's disorganized. People are treated differently based on how valuable they are to the people who are exchanging the most money. Like, that's all what it comes down to. And it can't function.
They have to understand like how bad even like this purported like logic is of being like, oh, the journalists, even if they have negative tests or fully vaccinated, we can't have them do anything. The athletes, that's fine. Because if a close contact is enough to isolate a journalist, surely you don't want the athletes who you're saying were in the exact same environment to then go and pull up to the Olympic Village and just start mingling with thousands of other people, too. I don't. Even like if it's really about safety, then you have to actually be consistent with how you're isolating people to make sure you're limiting the spread. But again, it's not about that. And it's just so transparently disastrous that it's just so frustrating, especially now that almost every country is now being like, oh man, two players in the Mexico baseball team got COVID. Like, just wherever you turn. Like, the reports of cases aren't declining, especially in athletes that are about to compete.
And I really feel like this is truly emblematic of the Olympics as an organization as well, because I remember back, what was it, 2014, 2016, in Sochi, shit was a mess.
Yeah.
And they wanted to blame it on, oh, Russia. And like, I'm sure people this time were going to try to say, oh, Japan, they fucking up. But it's like, the least common denominator here is that it's the Olympics, bruh.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this is endemic to their, you know, the institution that, like, they're just willing to do whatever it takes to pull off this massive sporting event for, to, you know, get those advertising dollars, et cetera. at the expense of human life or, you know, whatever, anything, whatever it takes to get it done, sadly.
Yeah, it's really bad. And on top of that, too, there's like this Paralympic swimmer who has a condition where she's deaf and blind and needs like a primary care assistant to help her, you know, navigate her day to day situations, which is her mom. And, you know, she had a terrible experience in Rio where she wasn't able to have her mom around for like this short segment and was like having trouble, you know, getting food because of her condition. And in her trying to go to the Tokyo Olympics, they said, oh, your mom can't come because the rules are too strict with like outside people. It's like, this is the Paralympics and I need this person to even be able to get to the venue. Like, what's going on? And because the Olympic committee is like, oh, our hands are tied, she tried to go to the government of like an ambassador to Japan to try and speak with the Japanese government. They said, oh, that's not on us. They tried to speak with the Olympic committee. They said, oh, that's on the U.S. team. Like, they can just ask for more credentials. And she's like, what the fuck is this? So she's pulling out of the games because she's like, I refuse to subject myself to this because last time was so traumatic for me. I'm not even going to do this. And how dare you have people like allow people who are dependent on the help of others to just go through their lives and even compete that you're going to bar them from coming? Like, none of this makes sense. So, you know, this swimmer is like completely said, I'm out of this too. Yeah. So it's
that's legitimate.
Everything just sucks about the Olympics. And I hope at the end of this, like because of this one, especially people go, man, we need to seriously rethink this shit. Like just put it in one place forever. And you can maintain your facilities rather than always bilking like local governments for their funds to sort of pay for stadiums and things like that. Just keep it in one place. Because this shit feels like the monorail from The Simpsons.
It truly.
Where like you come around and be like, hey, man, if you get the Olympics here, like we'll do this and this and this. Oh, the people will be fucked. But the local contracting will be booming. All that for nothing. And I just it's just like I used to really like the Olympics. Like I really like watching people compete who are at the height of their abilities. But like this just puts such a stupid fucking just can't. Now I'm just like off this.
I will say, I don't know. I saw a tweet somewhere. Somebody was like, I need to see one of these motherfuckers, like the sprinters run against like a regular person to truly understand like how impressive, right. You know, like put me on the slalom, let me do the shot put real quick. So I can truly understand because it is impressive to watch, but out of context of like seeing how dumbass the rest of us would look trying, it's just like, oh, that seems pretty cool. It's sort of like it's hard to grapple with the true amazingness of what they do out there sometimes. But even that aside, just institutionally, this whole thing is fucked up. And maybe, you know, abolish the Olympics.
Yeah, it would be hilarious, though, just to be like, OK, for those people who don't like get the guy who you think is the most fit guy from your town.
Yeah.
Right.
OK.
Yeah.
And we'll have one dummy spot in the Olympics, so you can just see what the fuck this looks like, because this man will blow their hamstrings out the blocks. Yeah,
so that you can be like, legitimately impressed by like the other motherfuckers. Like,
yeah, that's why also like with the Simone Biles stuff, because she's just next level in everything she does, and I've just gotten spoiled. I'm like, I don't know, that's what the fuck Simone Biles does.
Yeah.
I had to like, a lot of people were like, watch the gold medal winning performances from shit in the 80s and early 90s, just so you can really understand how even comparing like an amateur, just how far she's like progressing the sport. And those you always need those little context things.
Have you ever seen like the measurement of Usain Bolt's stride length? It's it's so wild.
He only like takes, a wingspan effectively of like 6 feet or some shit.
He takes crazy. 41 strides during the 100 meters.
Like, excuse me?
Yeah. Other like sprinters need like 48, and he covers it in 41. Like I would probably need, you know, 80 and a break in between.
Yeah.
And a break, but,
So one thing that I don't know if this is going to happen or change anything, but the head of the Tokyo Olympics organizing committee on Tuesday, so yesterday, did not rule out a last-minute cancellation of the global sporting showpiece, which starts on Friday. So,
son,
yeah, what?
That guy's fucked.
Yeah,
he's
oh my god,
he's having stress diarrhea every morning,
every minute of every day. Yeah, just leaking. Fuck.
He needs the same security detail that the new leader of Peru needs.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When that Olympic hit squad comes.
Yeah.
What did he do to deserve this? Like, same thing. The Olympics, they like had some sort of sex scandal and they were like, oh, you want me to tell everybody what you did? And they're like, no, please. So they're like, all right, we'll go send homie and send little homie out there and tell him we might cancel it.
There you go.
I don't know what they're going to do. That's so infuriating to even read that headline, given everything else we've been reading and hearing about these games. Like, yeah, I mean, it could get canceled. I might decide that.
Wouldn't it be a nice little bit of schadenfreude? Like, y'all done all this fuck shit. You sent home. You made the deafblind swimmer go home after she's, like, the most impressive athlete. And, you know, all the shit with Sha'Carri. All this fuck shit with the journalists. And it's like, ha-ha! Y'all ain't even go have games! I would kind of enjoy it if that happened.
Yeah. That would feel good. But then it sucks for everyone else. But then you're like, honestly, it's the pandemic and the Olympics were fooling everybody by even saying they could do it this year. So shame on them for even giving
hope. Shame on them. They deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, Mariah, it's been such a pleasure as always having you on Daily Zeitgeist.
Every time.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mariah4Athens. If you into some politics, or lingua franca, if you into some music, LINQUAFRANQA. I got a new album coming out early next year. So you can check out somebody and wait around for a little bit of that. It's going to be real good. And I'm going to have a baby soon. So there'll be cute baby pictures on the TL. Come see that.
A new album and a new human dropping.
A new album, next, a new human. Yes. Can't tell which one I'm more excited for. Catch me on the internet. Mariah for Athens, Lingua Franca. You can also check out my podcast. Comes out every Thursday, Waiting on Reparations, wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah.
It's been great to see y'all again. Thanks for having me back.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Well, actually, I mentioned one before we were recording that was funny, also weather related. Someone tweeted, it was like, oh, every time it rains and then it's hot afterwards, like nature's trying to steam us like a bag of crabs.
Yeah. Kobe Bakari tweeted, after it rains in Georgia, the sun immediately comes out to steam us like a bag of crab legs.
There's no other in the history of weather anecdotes that anything captured the experience more perfectly. Other than that, I recently watched the former mayor of Atlanta get dunked on real hard for planning. So he's running, Kasim Reed, he's running for mayor again. He's got all these corruption charges against him, like federal corruption, like proceedings against him. I don't know why he's running. But so he planted a yard sign of his in like some random person's yard who like tweeted at him like, yo, homie, why'd you put this in my yard? Mm. And then he was like, it's Kasim Reed, former mayor of Atlanta, tweeted at this guy like, well, why do you follow me? And then he just got like ratioed so bad by the good people of the city of Atlanta who were like, homie, you were vying to become one of the most powerful men in the South. Can you just please have a shred of dignity a little bit?
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other show 420 Day Fiance. If you like 90 Day Fiance, come check out that podcast because I love trash TV and I hope you do too. Some tweets I like. First one is from Bailey Moon at Bailey Moon 15 tweeted, Susan B. Shopping Anthony. Just thinking about the suffrage movement and just that coming out. And then another one from at Stan Fritz tweeted, how do you say I don't give a fuck professionally?
Yeah.
I'm thinking on it.
Share your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see some tweets I've been enjoying. Kelgor Trout at Kelgor Trout, a little Kurt Vonnegut reference, tweeted, my kid crying, just losing her mind as I explain why she cannot sleep with a water balloon. That just really struck home. I have very similar conversations every night. Trey at Trey Day Way tweeted, I carry around flour tortillas just in case I need to turn something into a taco, which is just good policy. Oh. And Eden Dranger tweeted, I'm just a girl standing in front of the fridge wishing it was a boy. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to check out today?
This is a collaboration between this beat maker, who I haven't heard from in a minute, No Sedge Thing, and this Korean MC, Park Hee Jin. We went out on one of her tracks like maybe a couple months ago, but this new track, I mean, I don't speak Korean, but I feel like I do when I listen to these tracks because they go hard and the production is really cool. I just like seeing sort of more forward thinking beat production over K hip hop. So this one's called Clouds by Park Hee Jin and No Sedge Thing.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.